So let's think then, what do we do to get ready for Christmas? Who can tell me? Nothing. Nothing at all. Must be something. Yes, over there. Say a bit louder. Put up decorations. Yes, yes. We've got some decorations up in the church. And I suppose you've got some decorations up in your houses. Anybody got a Christmas tree? A few people. Anybody yet to put up their Christmas tree? Quite a few, right? Okay. So, we put up decorations. Anything else we do? I think when you go to the shops, you can see what other people are doing anyway. Yes. Grace, what do you do? I can't hear. I have to speak a bit louder. Yes. But first of all, we've got to go and buy the presents, haven't we? Sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's hard, because some people think, I don't know what to buy them. So we have to come up with some good ideas and hope that they like the presents. So, and what about, or usually it's mum, sometimes it's dad, they have to buy things for us to eat. Because at Christmas we have lots of food, don't we? Anybody help with the Christmas shopping? Go and buy the food, help with the food. Some people do, that's good. Right, so at Christmas time there's lots and lots of things to do, and probably have to tidy up the house as well, and tidy up your room, yes, and make sure things are nice and clean and ready for visitors. And then you'll think, well, what am I going to wear? So there's lots of things to think about getting ready for Christmas. But in all that busyness and all that preparation, we mustn't forget about the real meaning of Christmas. And that's all to do with the baby Jesus, isn't it? And on that very first Christmas, Mary and Joseph had to get ready. Not for Christmas, of course, because they hadn't had Christmas then. Jesus hadn't been born. But they had to get ready to go on a long journey to Bethlehem because there was going to be a census. Everyone was going to be counted. And Joseph had to go to the town where his family came from, which was Bethlehem. And that was about 80 miles away. So it was quite a long journey. And of course, they didn't have cars then. How do you think they went? Yes. By a donkey, yes. I expect they had to borrow the donkey. But poor Mary, she was going to give birth to a baby very soon, so she didn't want to have to walk 80 miles, I'm sure. So I expect they borrowed a donkey so Mary could ride on the donkey. And when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, there was nothing ready for them. They hadn't even got somewhere to stay. So Joseph had to go round knocking on doors of, they called them inns then, rather than hotels, but finding somewhere to stay. There was nowhere, though, was there? And do you remember where they had to go in the end? Where did they have to go in the end? Yes. In a stable, yes, where the animals were. So anyway, let's hear what the Bible has to say about this. And Sheila is going to come and read the first bit of our story. And Mary and Joseph are going to start off on their long journey all the way around the church. And with their donkey.
At that time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the Roman Empire. When this first census took place, Quirinus was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each to his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant.
So Mary and Joseph have travelled all that way to Bethlehem. Now wonder what sort of presents you're hoping for this year. Anybody know what they want for Christmas? Nobody? Nobody wants anything for Christmas. Somebody must want something for Christmas. Oh, you're all very good and say, Shirley, what would you like for Christmas? What? A necklace. Right. Did you hear that? Yes, David and Pamela, Shirley would like a necklace for Christmas. Right. Nobody else wants anything? That's very good. I'm sure it's not true. But anyway, let's see. Mary and Joseph arrived at Bethlehem with the donkeys. That's it. Come on, donkeys. And Mary and Joseph with the new baby. We'd like to welcome Darcy, who is just over 2 weeks old. There we are. And she's fast asleep. That's good. So on that very first Christmas, Mary and Joseph were hoping to receive the gift of a baby. A stranger gave them a stable to stay in. And that night, Mary's baby was born. The best Christmas present ever. A present not only for Mary and Joseph, but for you and for me and for everyone. God's special present to us each Christmas. And we're now going to have our second part of our reading from Luke. And Sheila's going to read that again.
And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have a baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay at the inn.
Now, Christmas can be a time of surprises, can't it? Because sometimes you get a surprise present. Sometimes it's a nice surprise, and sometimes it's a horrible surprise. And you think, now, why have they given me that present? That's not what I wanted at all. But you have to be very polite, don't you? And you have to say, thank you very much. That's just what I wanted, even if that's not really true. But it's nice for people to give presents and to receive presents, even if it's not quite what you wanted. Surprises, though. Mary and Joseph, when they were in Bethlehem, they had some surprise visitors. They were some poor shepherds in the fields, just outside Bethlehem. And we can see them sitting over there on the hills with their sheep. We've got quite a lot of sheep this year, which is good. And they were getting ready for an ordinary night on the hillside, looking after their sheep. But just as they were settling down around the fire, something extraordinary happened. The sky lit up. And there were lots of angels there. Flapping their wings, and they were singing. It was a sort of a surprise, wasn't it? That was a bit scary and a bit exciting all at the same time. And the angels told the shepherd about this amazing event which had happened in Bethlehem. That a baby had been born who was going to be the saviour of the world. And they ought to go and find out what was happening. And now Sylvia's going to read the next bit of the story for us from the Bible.
There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm here with good news for you that will bring great joy to all people. This very day in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord, and this was what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great army of heaven's angels appeared, with the angels singing praises to God. "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and saw the baby lying in a manger.
Now, when we visit families and friends at Christmas, sometimes we have to carry out a lot of preparation for the visit. So we have to make sure we've got their presents, don't we? Because it's no good turning up and not having the right presents. And we have to make sure that we know the right way to go. We've got to check the weather, see it's not snowing or heavy rain. So we've got to be prepared, haven't we, for that journey. And the next part of our story is about some rich, wise men who came from the east. And they spent a long time getting ready to visit Jesus, and they took some very special presents for him. Now, although when we tell our nativity story, we condense everything together, and we have the shepherds and the wise men there at the same time, in reality, it took the wise men about a year to get to Jesus after the shepherds. So Jesus was about a year old when the wise men got there. But today we're going to condense it all together, as we can't wait here for a whole year, can we? So, we're going to have our next reading, and this reading is going to be read by Kingsley, and it's from Matthew. And during the reading, the wise men are going to set off on their long journey. And they're going to, first of all, come and see King Herod, because they thought, this baby that's born must be born in a palace, because he's a king. But we know now that wasn't true. But let's hear the story and see what happens.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the star came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when he came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and find out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know so that I may go and worship him." And so they left. And on their way, they saw some star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were, what joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother, Mary, They knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to present them with to him.
Christmas. What is it all about then? I wonder if this poem describes your Christmas. The meaning of Christmas is all very clear. It's turkey and tinsel and parties and beer. It's rowing with aunties and sisters and dad and saying the pudding has made you feel quite bad. It's looking at presents you never will wear and moaning how life is, well, not very fair, because your cousin's got lots of things you never had. Your mum is now yelling at granny and dad. Your brother is crying because the battery is flat and he can't use his toy and he's kicking the cat. Yes, the telly is boring. The turkey is tough. Christmas. Ha! Christmas. Have you had enough? Well, I hope your Christmas isn't like that. Christmas is a time for celebrating the birth of Jesus. As long as we remember that, then everything else will just fall into place. I'm sure when God looks down at us, he thinks, why are they making such a big thing about Christmas? Make it much more difficult. It's a simple thing. Something which they're meant to enjoy and not to be stressed about and to be rushing about and doing all sorts of things. So he's telling us really just to chill, to remember Jesus at Christmas time, the simple story of Jesus being born in a stable, not in the palace, not having lot of pomp and circumstance and lots of things which are not important. This is the real meaning of Christmas. Lots of people, of course, think the Christmas story is just for children. But it's not, is it? It's for grown-ups too. It's for people, in fact, who are not Christians. It's a story for everyone, whether young or old, rich or poor, black, brown, white. It's a story for the shepherds, the wise men, the shop assistant, the bus driver, for you and for me. And it's the most amazing story, how God came to earth as a human. He came as a tiny, helpless baby, totally dependent upon a human father and mother. Yet nevertheless, angels came to sing to him, to welcome him. And shepherds left their flocks to come to see him. And wise men travelled hundreds of miles to bring him gifts. And that was just the beginning of Jesus' story, wasn't it? When he grew up, he was able to do very special things, miracles. Making 2 fish and 5 loaves into enough to feed 5,000 people. Healing those who were sick. Helping the blind to see and the lame to walk. But most amazing of all, he was willing to die on a cross for us. So that we might receive forgiveness for all the bad things that we do. And which stop us having a good relationship with God. We remember that at Easter time, don't we? How having overcome death and all the wrong things in the world, Jesus was raised to life. Jesus wants us to be his friends, to listen to what he has to say, and to follow his example of caring for others. He is a light for us to follow when we're not sure of the way to go. So this Christmas, Don't think about the shopping and the presents and the cooking and all those things which really are not important, but think about Jesus. If you concentrate on him, then everything else will fall into place.